Hello everyone, I am Yunel Gog, and today I'm going to talk about Firmament, a fast centralized cluster scheduler. To understand Firmament, let's look at the workloads from Sesame Inc., a typical fast-growing software company. On the company's clusters, Sesame's employees run short interactive data analytic tasks that must finish within seconds, long-running services tasks whose performance is crucial to the company's business, and traditional batch processing tasks that increase resource utilization. Kermit is Sesame's head of infrastructure. His job is to find a cluster scheduler that places tasks such that utilization is high. However, it must also avoid task interference that degrades performance. The scheduler must place tasks with low scheduling latency. This is needed for interactive tasks to complete within seconds and to reduce the time resources are idle while the scheduler runs. Kermit first looked at the state of the art, and he discovered that there is a tension between good task placements and low scheduling latency. Some schedulers are centralized and choose good task placements because they see the entire cluster state and they can use sophisticated algorithms. Other solutions parallelize decisions across several distributed schedulers that each serve a part of the workload. They use simple heuristics to place tasks with sub-second latency. Finally, hybrid schedulers place long-running tasks in a centralized manner and short tasks distributively. However, tasks can still experience poor placements due to the distributed components and the simple heuristics. Therefore, Kermit cannot get good task placements and low scheduling latency for his entire workload. To address this limitation, Kermit has built Firmament, a centralized scheduler that chooses good task placement with low task scheduling latency, but it also scales to more than 10,000 machines. First, Kermit wondered what approach he should use to get the best possible placements. He reviewed the literature and found the Quincy scheduler, which provides optimal task placements for its scheduling policy. Quincy models the scheduling problem as a min cost max flow optimization. While Quincy was designed for batch jobs only, Kermit wondered if Quincy's min cost flow based approach can be useful to him. So let's see how this approach works with a simple example. In this figure, we have a cluster of six machines that are grouped into two racks. For simplicity, each machine can only run one task. Two users submit two new tasks to the scheduler, a short interactive task and a long-running service task. And both tasks have a preference for running in the first rack. Most schedulers would greedily place the tasks one by one, whereas the min cost flow-based scheduler considers all the tasks at the same time. This includes even the tasks that are already running, which it might preempt or migrate. So for example, if worthwhile, the scheduler would preempt the newest batch task running in the rack one and migrate the other batch task from rack one to rack two to then place the two new tasks in the first rack. And because the scheduler considers all the tasks every time it makes decisions, it achieves globally optimal placements. Internally, a min cost flow scheduler models our cluster and its workload as a graph. For a very simple scheduling policy, the scheduler creates a node in the graph for each task and for each machine present in the cluster. Following, it inserts arcs to connect the tasks to the machines on which they can run. Let's now zoom in on task zero, which can be placed on machine zero or machine two. Each machine may be better or worse suited for running a task. Therefore, each arc is annotated with a cost, which, for example, may be related to the current load on the machine. And choosing the best machine in this example is simple, but it gets more difficult with more tasks and more machines. But fortunately, min cost max flow is an optimization which guarantees to place tasks with a minimum overall cost. But in order to use a min cost max flow optimization, each task must supply a unit of flow which is routed to a special node called the sink, which has a flow demand equal to the total number of tasks present in the cluster. In a single run of the optimization, all the flow is routed to the sink via the arcs highlighted in green. Following, the tasks are assigned to the machines accordingly. Now that Kermit understands how mean cost flow scheduling works, he naturally wonders how well the Quincy approach scales to Sesame's ever-growing clusters. To find out, he wrote a simulator that uses Quincy scheduling policy when replaying a trace of one of Google's clusters. In this graph, on the log scale y-axis, we have scheduling latency in seconds. And in other words, this is how long it takes for the scheduler to run. And the lower, the better. On the x-axis, we vary the size of the cluster by subsampling the Google trace. 12,500 machines corresponds to the entire Google cluster. When Kermit executed the experiment, he found that Quincy's scheduling latency rapidly increases up to 66 seconds on average when running at Google scale. His users would definitely not be happy because his resources will be idle while the scheduler runs. Moreover, even with today's workloads, over 30% of tasks would wait to be scheduled for the equivalent of a third of their runtime. And this is only going to get worse and worse as the company expects to run more and even shorter interactive tasks. In order to solve these problems, Kermit set himself the goal of scheduling tasks with subsequent latency in the common case. Firmament achieves this goal by using the best suited mean cost flow algorithm and incrementally adjusting the solution. Moreover, Firmament chooses good task placements because it offers the same optimal placement as Quincy does. And lastly, Firmament generalizes mean cost flow scheduling by supporting multiple scheduling policies. So let's see how Firmament works. Firmament scheduling policy defines how to transform the workload and cluster state into a flow graph. Firmament supports many different scheduling policies that define different flow graphs and their associated costs. You can check the paper for more details about the policies Firmament supports. Following, Firmament submits the flow graph to a mean cost max flow solver, which finds the flow with the minimum cost. And finally, Firmament extracts task placements from the computed optimal flow. While Kermit was developing Firmament, he discovered that mean cost flow schedulers spent almost all their entire time running the mean cost max flow solver. So clearly, the key to getting scheduling latency down is to make the solver fast. Hence, Kermit developed a custom solver. He implemented several algorithms in the hope that he'll manage to reduce latency. He first implemented cost scaling, the algorithm used by Quincy. Cost scaling worst case complexity is quadratic in the number of nodes. So he painstakingly optimized the algorithm and then evaluated it using the same Google trace as before. And it turns out that Kermit's implementation has similar runtime to the one used by Quincy, and it fails to meet his goal beyond 1,000 machines. Following, Kermit spent some more time researching about mean cost max flow algorithms and learned that there is an algorithm with a lower worst case complexity than cost scaling. Successive shortest paths worst case complexity is also quadratic in the number of nodes, but it has smaller additional factors. He implemented the algorithm to find out, to his surprise, that successive shortest paths is even worse than cost scaling. It only meets his goals on clusters of up to 100 machines. However, from this experiment, Kermit learned that the worst case complexity is not necessarily a good runtime indicator. So in his last attempt, he implemented relaxation, the algorithm with the highest worst case complexity. It is cubed in the number of arcs. However, when it turns out that relaxation works very well in practice. It meets Kermit's sub-second latency goal even on Google scale clusters. So why is this the case? Relaxation works really well because it benefits a lot from the structure of the graphs generated by mean cost flow schedulers. It manages to push the flow from tasks to machines in almost a single pass over the graph. This is great compared to many other solvers and algorithms which require many more passes. However, Kermit also discovered some cases when relaxation performs poorly. And one such case is when the cluster is highly utilized. In this case, only few machines have spare resources to run more tasks. Thus, many tasks can have a preference for running on the same machine. Relaxation is low in this scenario because it pushes flow from the task to machine two to find out that there is not enough capacity on the machine. And as a result, flow is sent back to the task nodes. And the relaxation ends up having to retry, and it's no longer doing a single pass. Kermit wanted to see how well relaxation can handle this uncommon but important edge case. Highly utilized clusters are a very challenging setup because most schedulers don't degrade gracefully. So in this experiment, Kermit started with a simulated clusters of 12,500 machines that were at 90% utilization. He then submitted jobs of increasing size up until the cluster was oversubscribed. So in this graph, on the y-axis, we show algorithm runtime, and on the x-axis, we vary the cluster slot utilization, which is starting at 91%. When Kermit placed the task using relaxation, he found that relaxation's runtime grew to hundreds of seconds as utilization increased. And while high utilization is a rare edge case, it is important to schedule tasks within several seconds because otherwise the scheduler may fall back and accumulate so much work that it never recovers. So Kermit next tested how well cost-scaling algorithms used by Quincy does on this experiment. And it turns out that high utilization doesn't significantly increase cost-scaling's runtime. More interesting, there is a point at which cost-scaling is faster than relaxation. So the obvious solution that Kermit came up with is to pick the best of the two algorithms. Ferment does this with a very simple approach. It runs both algorithms at the same time. It can do that because they are single-threaded. One of them will finish first, and then it will just output the flow and kill the other algorithm. So great, now Ferment is as fast as the best algorithm. However, the runtime is still high when we are just using cost-scaling. And Kermit has some more ideas on how to bring the runtime down, and now I'm just going to explain one of them. All min cost max flow algorithms work in the following way. They read the input graph, build up an internal graph state out of it, run for a while, and then when they finish, they discard the entire state. On the next run, they run from scratch. So Kermit thought it would be much better to instead maintain the previous graph state, transform into the new state by applying graph changes, and followingly, incrementally adjust the solution. So Kermit adjusted the algorithms and found out that incrementally computing the solution doesn't help relaxation, but it does reduce cost scaling's runtime to about half. So now with this important edge case sorted out, Kermit wanted to see if the techniques I presented together with other optimizations that are described in our paper are sufficient to resolve the tension between choosing good placements and low scheduling latency. First, Kermit executed an experiment to find out how good Ferment's placements are compared to other schedulers. He used 40 machine real-world clusters, but in this picture, I'm only showing a subset of the cluster. We have 10 machines that are grouped into two racks. On some machines, they are already running service tasks that create medium or high load on the network links. In the experiment, Kermit placed short network-intensive interactive tasks using different schedulers. He measured task response time for interactive tasks, which we plot as CDFs in this graph. Task response time is the time from the moment a task has been submitted up until it finished executing. And on a completely idle cluster, the task response time for the interactive tasks is about 5 seconds. Kermit first tried Sparrow, a scalable distributed scheduler. However, he found that in the tail, task response time grew to beyond 100 seconds. Sparrow places tasks with low scheduling latency, but it randomly assigns the task to machines without taking into account resource utilization. Thus, several tasks can end up on machines with very high network utilization. Following, Kermit executed the same experiment using the centralized Kubernetes and Docker schedulers. They do not reduce task response time in the tail because they either use policies that are based on load spreading, or they do not take into account network utilization. Whereas Ferment outperforms the both distributed and centralized schedulers. The task response times are shorter because co-located tasks do not interfere. Now, on our small cluster, Ferment scheduling latency is low, but Kermit wondered how this holds on bigger clusters. Kermit therefore used the Google Trace to measure Fermat's task placement latency. Shown on the y-axis, task placement latency is the time from the moment the task has been submitted up until the scheduler has placed it on machine. On the x-axis, Kermit accelerated the trace to find out how Fermat handles workloads in which tasks are shorter. For example, in the original trace, the medium task runtime is 420 seconds, but at a 250 times acceleration, it is at 1.7 seconds. Kermit first replaced the trace using a tuned version of coscaling, the algorithm used by Quincy. Coscaling's average placement latency was around 45 seconds, even when he replayed the trace without any acceleration. And this is definitely too high for SesameE's users. He next used only relaxation to place the tasks, and he found that the relaxation handles accelerations of up to 150 times pretty well. However, with a 250 times acceleration, relaxation's latency at 75th percentile is 2 seconds, and the maximum is at 57 seconds. Whereas due to Kermit's optimizations, Fermat has sub-second latency in the common case and the maximum placement latency of less than 4 seconds, even with a 250 times acceleration. With Fermat, Kermit can schedule SesameE's tasks with low latency while still obtaining good task placements. Fermat is open source, and we are currently working on integrating it with Kubernetes. Check our website, fermat.io, for details. Thank you for your attention, and I'm now happy to take questions.
You mostly presented load adaptive scheduling, that if different workers have different load, that you're adapting where the tasks are going. Do you do other things beyond that? Do you also get job completion time, or do you do fairness? Like Quincy's graph is not just tasks and machines, right? It's a more complicated than tasks and machines.
Yeah. So that basically that example was just to understand how the mean cost flow schedulers works. In we for example, we support the Quincy scheduling policy, but we even have more complicated policies in which you even have the topology of the machine. So you model the cores, you model the cache, and then you can avoid cache interference, for example. So we do load aware. So we basically, to answer your question, we do load aware scheduling.
So on the load aware part, how quickly do you get feedback about the actual load state?
Well, that basically depends on the scale and how aggressive you set your timers. In the network experiment that I've shown, we use a policy that is network aware, and then the feedback was around I think 10 milliseconds.
Hi, this is Michael from the University of Chicago. Yeah. In the paper, you mentioned that you have the program specific heuristics. And I want to know how much work needs to be done on the original algorithm and how much work need to be done to get those program-specific properties.
Sorry, can you please repeat the first part of the question?
I said how much work need to be done to based on the original mean cost maximum flow algorithm to get the program-specific algorithm?
So is the question how much there is to be done compared to like the first algorithm and how much our algorithm is doing?
Yes.
So the first algorithm its complexity depends a lot on the cost on the arc or you have on the arcs. So you can end up doing many passes over the graph. It's actually, I think, logarithmic on the cost. Whereas with relaxation, that it doesn't depend on the cost on the arcs. And for the policies that you have, what happens is you kind of push the flow almost in a single pass via the arcs. So it's basically it's almost a log factor, but it depends on the policy.